Hey guys, Joy here. I have a very exciting announcement. Maybe you have been to one of my Mother's Day dinners in the past. I have not hosted one since 2019, and this year we are officially bringing it back. So save the date for Sunday, May 21st, and boy, are we getting a major upgrade. As much as I would love to keep hosting these in my backyard, I no longer have the space, but I promise you won't be disappointed. This year, I'm teaming up with Molly Martin of Juniper Green Kitchen. If you've never heard of her or her company, please look her up. She is a complete badass and being extremely generous in helping me with this event to provide some time and space of community for fellow moms. At her gorgeous new location in Bell's Bend, we will have a cocktail hour followed by a seasonal supper, family-style dinner, and naturally. So make sure and go to our Instagram. I'm going to put the link for reservations and more details on our profile page. We're going to cap it at about 40 people to maintain some intimacy and time for real conversation. And I cannot wait to see you guys there.
If I see an opening, I'm just going to maybe just say an ad.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. If I notice a pause, I will be like, you know, one of the nicest things you can do for yourself.
You just get your really car wash.
You have to pick between getting a massage and getting a car wash. It's really a hard decision.
Yeah.
Because the massage feels really good when you're in there, but then you leave and it's over.
It's over.
But a car wash, you like that whole next like month, you're like, wow, I got my car wash.
A month, really?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, that's not going to keep you in business.
Week, that whole next week.
Well, you're test like, that theory. You can test that theory today at Camel Express Car Wash. Use code MOMCULT for a free $25 best wash.
Ooh.
Welcome, Jenny Black.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jen.
Here we are. So glad to connect with you guys.
It's been a long time.
Okay, and what fun. Okay, so y'all opened this episode. You were at Stephanie's house?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she made you
an incredible salad.
An incredible salad.
Yeah, it was the first time anyone's treated us with like royalty.
Mm-hmm. How fun.
Yeah, we're usually here and I'm like running in at the last minute eating my own
peanut butter.
If only she would share it with us.
Yeah. She only brings one spoon.
I was just telling someone when we were kids, my mom never bought paper products. I still don't think she buys paper products. And she was like, we never had money for paper products. And what do you need them for? Apparently nothing. So when we ate at the dinner table together, she would just put a dish rag, like a dish towel, and that we'd pass that around. And that's what we used, like, you know, as a napkin, a shared one. I just thought that was so funny.
I have no recollection of that. But I will say, Jeremy is always like, I don't understand the obsession with our parents' generation and just leaving wet rags hanging in the middle of the sink to dry. And
yes.
They just smell like mildew and
gross.
They're disgusting. And like any time that mom stays at the house, there's always
is it over
the wet ours rag.
Is over like a
all crunchy.
It's like a kind of tall faucet with the thing that you kind of pull out.
Right,
it looks
right.
A little bit like a commercial sink, but it's not. Anyway, my mom does that same thing. She also saves like a damp paper towel and will drape that, but she knows it drives me crazy. So doesn't do that as much, but that really.
Okay.
I'm
well,
like,
here's the
what?
Thing with the, I do the same thing. I mean, it doesn't get mildewy, but the other option is it goes in the laundry. It gets mildewy, like it gets other things wet.
Right.
So you have to hang it somewhere else.
Right.
We fold it on the back of the sink, but when I smell, like yesterday,
what do you,
I smelled
what do you at home do?
Like,
what do you guys do?
What
do your moms
truly,
do?
Truly, there is not a smell I like less than the mildew smell.
Yeah.
Many. Well, don't go into my closet. God, I cannot.
Dry your clothes on time.
No, I do that. I don't know. I just. And maybe they don't. I don't know. My sense of smell is all weird now, but who knows? I just use a lot of spray stuff.
Mm. Okay. So, Stephanie, Little T.
Little T.
And Cricket.
Cricket.
Dear God. I just can't even stand
she's
it.
She's a little stinker.
Can't even stand it.
She's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
So many great stories. I feel like I was so in the, I was just in that conversation. Like I didn't have any like, oh, I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Or I was just in it. Like I was having the meal with you guys. It was so delicious.
She, in the beginning, she talked about I think the first thing that you asked her was what her biggest struggle is right now. And she just said the managing, mm-hmm. the managing of it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the two kids and extracurricular activities and all the driving.
It's such a...
And sickness.
Right. Well, and then you throw any wrench or a husband goes out of town or, you know, it's just like anything that changes. It's like, how are we going to do this? Yeah, I will say I didn't really like that part.
Of the podcast or that part of your life?
My life. It was only like, I don't know, 10 years of it. But I remember when it really didn't hit for us until Brandon started middle school. And I remember being like, I'm going to lose him. Like I stayed really, I homeschooled them. They went to public elementary school, but then I homeschooled them like fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And we just kind of had that like,
it was just a
magical time where I got the thrill of creating the world in which they were the most kid they could possibly be, you know, the most of whatever that was. And when Brand went to, he started in seventh grade, I just remember that was probably my hardest grieving time. Was this is the end of an era. Like mm-hmm. this is the end. And once they get in this world, now it's going to be, it's somebody else that has all these expectations for them. And oh man, I cried so hard. And I'm really happy I did because I was right. Like it was worthy to be grieved. And, but I also love that I got it, you know, that I got the treasure that I had. Yeah. And I just remember feeling like, so now Brandon, he worked for a company that managed YouTube content for his first couple of years out of college. Mm-hmm. And he like had the best boss in the entire world. He's like, I love my boss more than anything, but working for YouTube's algorithms is the worst. Like you can't, every job you do every day gets changed. It didn't matter. We have to do it differently. And so you never have this feeling of, I did my job. And
so he's experiencing being a mom.
Every day's a failure.
I swear I had it figured out 5 minutes ago.
So true. So being a mom is the same as working for a YouTube algorithm. That is amazing. So I can't remember where I was going with this. Oh, once my kids got in like real school, meaning the schools that have, it's like college prep, they have these, you know, things that they're supposed to do, extracurricular activities that are not just for, they are supposed to be just for fun, but it's not for fun anymore because it's like the school, right? The school's got their whatever competitions and everything. And it really is like all of a sudden, both you and your kid are working for somebody else. Right. It's not like, this isn't what I value or think is important. Anyway, that was such a hard time of life. And I've thought, you know, if I could do it over again, What would I do differently to not stay in charge, like stay in control, but stay in charge of what really mattered? Like what space could I have held that would be like, yeah, sorry, we don't do that. Or I remember keeping Brandon home from school because he was just exhausted and I would have to make him stay home from school. And I made this whole list of things like that he could do that day. And they were like, play outside, build your Legos, you know, just all
fun stuff.
Make brunch, you know. But those were tough times. And I felt like I was just sucked into this culture that I couldn't do anything different about it.
Was he in sports and in like a academic or other kind of?
It was everything, but the school kind of required that. So being in a different school would have probably made a difference, but he had a great experience there too. So it's not, I wouldn't take that away from him. It was just not fun. It was not fun for me. Ugh, the driving. Ugh. I remember doing like my like little update one day on, I think Facebook at the time was like, I've only been to the school 3 times today. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. This is how I know it's a Saturday. It's just not even like, on a normal day. Right. It was like 7 trips back and forth.
Well,
that time when they're so active and they can't drive.
Right.
That's the time that's just like, yeah.
I was watching a TikTok the other day that I'm reminded of you telling that story. And it was a girl talking. She's an adult now. She was saying this lesson that she learned when she was in, I think she was in middle school. And the teacher had them all sit in a circle. She said, normally it's like very nice teacher. She walked in the door and he was being very serious, very stern, had all the desks in a circle with a desk in the middle with a fishbowl on it. And he takes the fish out of the fishbowl and lays it on the desk and looks at all of them and is like, if any of you leave your seat, I can't remember what the consequence was, like you're going to get sent to the principal's office or something about grades or I guess something that felt threatening.
Right.
And then left the room. And she's like, we all just sat there like watching this fish flap around on the desk and none of us knew what to do because none of us want to deal with whatever the consequence is. And she said, finally, one girl was just like, screw it, and got up and put the fish back in the bowl. And it was, she's like, it felt like he was gone for an hour. She's like, I'm sure it was like 2 minutes. And he came back in and he was just teaching them of like, basically what you're saying, like, don't, what are you sacrificing? Like, you're sacrificing a part of something in you that knows that something's not right. But, oh, he was teaching them about what's it called when everyone...
Groupthink or...
Yeah, like when someone, everyone in an apartment building mentality. Sees someone getting...
Oh, bystander effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he was teaching them that lesson. And she was like, I've never forgotten that. And I was, you know, because then once you're the kid that doesn't stand up and do it, then you have the feeling of like, that's what I wanted to do, but I was too scared to do it. And right. She was like, I'm never going to feel that feeling again. I will be the first person to say something because I lived through what it's like to not be that person. Anyway, that just reminded me of that.
That was such a good story. Mm-hmm. I was so lost in it. I was like, I forgot the story I was going to tell next.
I did too. That never happens to me. Well, that reminds me of the brown-eyed, blue-eyed experiment, which everyone has to get on YouTube, and you can actually see it. You can watch the teacher being interviewed and what she did in her class, and it was all basically teaching about perceiving a different group of people as less than you. Mm-hmm. And so she does this experiment with brown-eyed and blue-eyed students, and she just says, you know, the research just came in. Brown-eyed kids aren't as smart as blue-eyed kids, or they're not as good with other kids. Like, she just, like, whatever. And so they start dividing their whole classroom in, like, different reading groups, different recess times, blah, 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 whatever. So they watch the kids start underperforming and overperforming, which is – that was not something that they were expecting to see. But then the next day she flips it, and she's like, y'all, I read it the wrong way. It's actually – then she flips it. And, like, there's still interviews with the adults from that. She got fired for it. It's an amazing story.
I was going to say, that must have read people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she gets fired for it, and yet it goes on to be one of the greatest lessons ever learned. And she was like, kind of like, it was worth getting fired for because we were dealing with integration at the time, and we weren't dealing with, like, the kids were going through this every day. Like, so
was it blind for them? Did she present it to them like it was an exercise and it was fake?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Wow. And then, were the kids that she said they were smarter, were they overperforming or underperforming? Well, how did it work?
Yeah.
Was it like,
so the kids smart that had been told that they were smarter all of a sudden started doing better on everything. The kids that were told they weren't, like, they started dropping in their performance and attitude and stuff. So anyway, it's an amazing thing to watch. But my daughter Avery teaches like ones, twos, and 3 year olds now. Mm-hmm. And she has all these amazing stories that she comes home with every day. But one of them was, it might have been a TikTok or something like that, that somebody said that their child came home and they basically found out they'd been getting bullied. And when their mom said, why didn't you tell me? He said, because you told me I'm not ever supposed to tell on my friends. And we've used this language for many years now that we just talk about, here's all our friends. These are all our friends. Like, we talk about classmates as friends, like in little schools. Mm-hmm. And so this woman was basically saying, oh gosh, we need to rethink that. Everybody isn't a friend. What is a friend? Blah, 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 blah. And Avery was like, no, we don't have to rethink that. That's the moment that you say, actually, that's not a friend. And then you teach that. And she was just commenting as a 21-year-old how you don't have to be afraid of having the setup right all the time. Like, life is going to give you 1,000 opportunities to correct. Like, oh yeah, we are all friends here in this 2-year-old class. And then when someone's beating on you, that's the moment you get to say, oh, that's not a friend. You don't have to rethink the way you've ever talked about anybody from that moment. Mm-hmm. I just really loved that. Just sort of the trust that, like, issues are going to come up as they come up, and you haven't been doing it wrong this whole time because right. This issue came up. It came up because it was going to come up. And then you get to unpack it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and I don't know if I made it clear in my brain. I don't know if I made the segue out loud, but the reason I had told that story was because when you were talking about him entering the system, basically, like, all of a sudden your kids get old enough to where they leave your system you've created at home, and the child and the parent are entering a bigger world system, that there's all these, now we're abiding by all of these kind of set rules, which is what made me think about that story.
Yeah.
Just in case it felt random. No, I don't know.
It didn't feel random. Okay. It was such a good story. And what I really thought is, if every kid did it, right? If every kid was like, how about we all get up and save the fish, and we'll all go to the principal's office.
Yeah.
Is she saying, just for my personal use, is she saying when you saying that everyone is your friend in your class, which they do at this school, she's saying, do say that. That's fine. Who cares? And then whenever things come up where a kid's not your friend, then you.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I'm just literally echoing back. I just wanted to be sure I understood.
Like, they're not your friend. You're like, they're not acting like your friend right now.
That's a friend doesn't do that. Or when a friend does do something like that, that's when you tell.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Whatever the thing is, the point for Avery was just, she was actually talking about just moms in y'all's generation, because she's
trying to prevent everything.
And she's like, I feel so bad for them, because I feel like they're just learning and learning and learning the other perfect thing they're supposed to do for their kid, not to have this problem that's like, who cares?
Well, we're unlearning and then learning. Mm-hmm. We're trying to unlearn the things that we weren't happy with about how we were raised. Except now, when we're trying to seek out the ways we want to learn, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it used to be, where if I have a specific question about something or I want to know something, I go seek it out. I am just flooded with information I don't even need, or wasn't even thinking about, or wasn't even a problem, or wasn't looking for, or wasn't on my mind. And there's 80 million of those things coming into my consciousness all the time.
Mm. Well, I'm living the dream right now, because, you know, we've been, let's just for clarity, let's say we've been divorced 1.5 years. And both of my kids have had it's never easy for a kid, no matter how old they are,
life-altering,
for their parents to get divorced. And Brandon's in therapy now. So he's like, oh my gosh, he's found the perfect guy for him. It's just like the best thing in the whole world, after going through all different like types of therapy and blah, 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 whatever. And it's finally like gotten to the point where we're addressing issues with me and Adam. Like, okay. And so I'm now living in the place of,
like, he's talking to you about these issues after, because he's talking about them in therapy.
Right. Okay. That's coming up. So basically my bill came due, y'all.
Mama's got some splaining to do.
I know. I like went to school to become an expert in this very thing. Every single day, I did everything I possibly could do to not mess it up.
Right.
And you're still in therapy, and it's because of me. And so he's basically just unpacking things with me as they're coming up for him. And it's really, really hard for him, because he does not ever want to hurt my feelings or know that I've done anything that could hurt him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not hard for me, because I've been very aware of all of these shortcomings, this isn't new information to me. It's new to him. But what's really crazy is, I'm realizing, when you get past, like whatever the thing is, or like you get past potty training, right? Or you get past the middle school years, or you get past them driving or whatever. You just don't want to look back. Like you just like, why? That was so hard. And like, okay. But it is like my, I'm remembering things from it, like as he's going through things, it's unlocking and unlocking and unlocking things. And I'm just really intrigued by things I really, really do regret. You know, like there's regrets that you have that you can only know from experience. And so it's like, right. Well, what good are those? You know, one of my friends used to say, I hate hindsight. But then they're also like, wow, I regret because I didn't save the goldfish. You know, like in those moments of like, I was about something else, or I was checked out, or or I wasn't checked out, and I wish I would have done things differently that I didn't do. And it's just I guess what I was realizing as you guys were talking is, oh, this is what y'all are all trying to avoid. You're trying to avoid your adult child being in therapy and sitting you down and telling you all the things that you did wrong, not just like, oh, because you're imperfect, but because like, one, it's impeded your relationship.
Yeah.
Hey, let's sit
this
down.
This therapy's for you. I've moved on. This is for you and someone else and your future spouse to deal with now.
We're like all pitching in, helping him pay for it because it's so much money and everybody's so poor and whatever. And anyway, I was like thinking anyone I ask who's not me and Adam's like, hey, we didn't do this to your kid. It's not our fault.
GoFundMe for my kid's therapy about me.
But I guess the moral of the story, if there is one, is that I've never had any illusions of being the perfect mom ever, not ever. Because you learn very quickly, you know this deep in your cells, it's not possible. Like it's not possible. That's the only reason I know I'm not the perfect mom. Like, because it never worked. It never took any day. But also just not to be afraid of this. Like I am loving. Like after we had sort of our first big conversation, I was like, hey, can you just, and he has a really hard time because of me, because of all his childhood issues. He has a really hard time just having negative emotions, period, having them in himself, but also expressing to anybody else anything negative. Mm-hmm. And now that he's starting to do that, I'm like, I'm in, I'm here for it. It doesn't scare me. I'm inviting more of it now. Like if he says something to me, I'll be like, are you sure you want that? I misunderstood a flight yesterday and he had to wait an hour for me to pick him up. And I was like, I know you're angry. Like, I'm so sorry. And he was like, I was angry. I was annoyed. You know, like it was like, we can talk about this. And I was like, Bran, I feel like we're in this whole new phase of our relationship just because you can be mad now.
Right.
Like, this is so exciting. And it's better. It's actually better. And I already thought I had a really great relationship with him. So I'm just saying.
Still just cozying up to that fear.
Don't be afraid. French kissing that fear.
Got my tongue deep in that fear.
That fear's got its tongue deep in me.
Oh my God. Mom Colt, it's an ad. When you need a quick weeknight dinner, look no further than our friends at Mr. Aaron's Goods. You can get 25% off your order on MrAaron'sGoods.com. They offer free delivery in East Nashville on Saturdays, and you can pick up Monday through Friday at TKO in East Nashville. But what Mr. Aaron's Goods does best is pastas, bagels, homemade baked goods, insane pasta sauces. Mr. Aaron's Goods, get them. MrAaron'sGoods.com. MrAaron'sGoods.com. Use code MOMCULT at checkout for 25% off. Locally owned, family operated in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, bringing it back to Steph, one of the things that I circled, and this is also speaking to our things with our parents. I mean, we have a lot of moms that come on here and there's a lot of rehashing of like, I wish my mom had done this, or this, feel like this part messed me up, or whatever. And one of Steph's was feeling like she was being raised in a way that was going against her gut. And so spending a lot of her high school into adult life really honing in on what that is and heading in that direction of like where her gut is telling her to go. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just one of the topics that I thought could be talked about more.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of, I don't know, sort of practice that you use at all to like get in touch with? I call it your inner voice.
Mm-hmm. It depends. So my recording things died 3 times. So that's, if there's a weird cut, that's why. Joy, you said, can you say it again?
I was just saying one of the things that I thought she had said that was a topic worth maybe delving into was that she hit a certain age when she felt like how she was being raised was going against who she was, and that she was like, I just eventually started following my gut, and she was grateful that she had done that, started that at a young age.
Well, and I'm also thinking developmentally, that's really important. Like you have, you know, like you were saying, we're always in a system. So your first system that you're in is your family, and you have to figure out how to function in that as it is, right? There's this importance of adapting to this system to survive, which is like a primal, really important instinct, because the next system you go to, you need to figure out how to survive in that system, right? Ultimately, whether it's the system of our country or the system of the planet or whatever. So like we've talked about before, humans love to swing as far on the pendulum as we possibly can. So there are these pieces of compliance and doing things that you don't want to do, right, that we know are really good for character development and structure, and they are as necessary as following your voice and doing what you know is right, right? It's like we're a combination of both of those things. And ideally, in this perfect family system we all would like to have, the younger a child is, the more structure there is, right, for them to, and then that structure grows along with them, and in the perfect world allows space and room, which is a very rare thing that you find. Typically, by the time that kid gets to adolescence, they're pushing back up, right? They're pushing against the system. And you really want them to. That's what they're supposed to do developmentally. That could be some really good things they're pushing up against, you know, that they want to do things that are harmful to them or whatever, because they want to do what they want to do. It could be, they could be in a really... one of my very good friends, like her thing was that her family all did drugs. And she was like, as a teenager, like, not me, I'm not doing drugs. Mm-hmm. So that's your job, right? Your job's to do something different, even if it's not real. You're just pushing against. Ultimately, the goal is for you to have enough of a sense of self-stability, enough understanding of how to work with reality, and also tune in to what you think that you're supposed to do, just because every person was a doctor before you in your family, like, okay, but you're not made to be a doctor. So it's not a bad thing. Like it's not that you so rarely see it in a family that does adolescence well, probably because it's not a thing anybody's going to do well. Right. But we tend to again, swing, like we create a space that's so big, our kids have nothing to push against. And that causes all sorts of problems. Like, oh, just trust yourself. Well, a 16-year-old doesn't need to be just trusting herself. You know what I mean? Like, or the reverse. I don't care what you say or think. It has to be this way. We have a really hard time finding that sweet spot of letting our kids in particular find their voices in ways that are appropriate for them to find their voices for that phase of development. Mm-hmm. All that to say, as we're recovering from either our over-compliance or our over-authoritarian, you know, ways, I had asked Sarah in particular, because you have all these, you seem to have all these strategies for everything, if you have any strategies for connecting to your inner voice.
I don't know if this is too, this is what I do, like to get in touch with that, like inner child, to find what I'm doing when I do this is... this is how I get in touch with my inner children, so many of them. And what I'm doing is looking for the source of pain or discomfort or anxiety, so I can then give that person part of myself, that part of myself who's also me, what they needed in that moment. And that is really, really effective for me in like some random or central like offshoot issues with all kinds of stuff. So I ideally... it's easiest if like I lay down and I breathe like in through your nose, count of five, out through your mouth, count of five, constricting your throat a little bit. and my eyes are closed. And sometimes music helps, sometimes it doesn't. And then, let's see, I breathe, close my eyes. And if I'm feeling like really freaked out, then I'll go to my safe place, which is like kind of a meadow with a like an arch structure in it. And, you know, yours might be, I don't know, a white room or someplace that means a lot to you, or sitting by a river or under a tree, whatever, wherever your safe place is. And you get to build it, whatever you want, which is really fun. And I don't know, the next step is I'm thinking about, you know, it just sort of happens now. And I don't know that I do anything to get there, but like the version of myself that was hurt forever ago, let's say it's, I'm feeling really insecure when I'm scrolling Instagram because all these cool, like these girls are just so cool and they have it all together and they look so great and everything is whatever it is, that insecurity that just hits me in this way that I'm like, I'm friends with those people or whatever it is. There's no completely illogical issue. Wherever that comes from just kind of comes to the front. And so that part is a little amorphous. I don't know how to explain that, but I'm just saying, close your eyes. And maybe you have something to elaborate on, Jenny, there, because I don't know why this happens, but like the version of myself that is feeling hurt will usually visually in my mind come out. And then I either think of like the moment that something happened, or I can just see that she's in pain about that. And then I give her whatever she needs. Like, you know, maybe I was picked on or something and I just needed someone to say, you're, you know, something great to me.
A snack. She usually needs a snack.
Yeah.
A hug.
Yeah.
Do you do it all in your head, or do you ever write any of it out, or do you talk out loud?
I do it in my head, and then yes, sometimes I will say it out loud too. And then if there's something that's like particularly central, then that will be something that I say to myself, like in the mirror, even in my head. I don't always feel comfortable saying it out loud, but if like if I'm doing yoga and there's a mirror in the room, then I'll just be like saying that in my head.
So you said you'll like kind of speak to the part of you that was wounded.
Yeah.
You said, as you were saying that, I was thinking, how do you access the part of you that can't be wounded?
How do I access the part of me that can't be wounded?
Can't be wounded, right? Which is basically that's the person who's doing the care. I'm talking about like a direction, like where you're going next or what you're supposed to do now or how you're supposed to handle something. I don't know. I'm thinking about inner authority. So that's come up this time. Like how do you know what to do next? More like that. From that place. Like, what does my inner voice say? Like, what does my gut say?
I guess do you mean in this scenario when I'm doing this breath work, or like in general?
Yeah, no, in general. Although I would think that the breath work would give you access.
Yeah, it does. And so whenever I go to that place, then I can trust the sense of knowing, like I know how to do this work, and then I'm chilled out and all the noise that is in me all the time quiets. And then I can feel that more fully. Or there'll be a feeling that I'm familiar with that's just so definite, then I just know. Is that what you're asking? Mm-hmm. Like a felt, either like a specific felt sense, or I'm able to clear out the noise enough to just really listen to myself and like not be so.
Yes, that's what I was wondering. Like, how do you listen to yourself? Like what's going on underneath all of the noise or the pain, or like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life right now? Or like Joy's making that shift to the improv track as opposed to the acting track. Like, how did you get in touch with that?
I mean, I definitely use journaling. I get out my mean voice first, my inner critic, and say all the things that I didn't do, that I should be doing, that I should be doing a better job at. And then I will write out all the things that I am doing. And that list is always longer. Like sometimes when I am doing productive things, I won't give those as much attention as the things I didn't do. And so just taking the time to give attention to those little things, even if it's I took Penny on a 15-minute walk, doesn't matter how long it was, I got her outside. In the course of the day, that can mean nothing to me, and I can still feel like we were inside all day long. Even if it's something bigger that's down the line, you know, if there's a project or something that I feel like I want to get done, but it seems too big, I can write, well, hey, you texted that person today to see if they can get coffee next week. That's something. That is a step towards something else.
So it's almost like seeing yourself.
Yeah.
It's like giving you.
I have to get perspective on it.
A witness.
And
that's so interesting because, you know, the huge part of trauma is not having a witness. It's like something that happened that didn't have a witness. And there's like tons of research that shows same trauma, you have a witness, does not process the same way in your brain. But until you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, what if we're never witnessing the good things? What if we're never witnessing the things in our lives that are going the way that we want them to go, or when we are being who we want to, like, what does that do? It's like a different kind of like, we're losing the good things if we don't witness them.
That's really neat. We talked about in Steph's episode a little bit of
appreciating
the moments. Yeah. The moments as moms that you go, oh yeah, this isn't like a family fantasy. The reality is that you get moments of that clarity of I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. We have to take the time.
But then all of that, so then you're doing all of like clearing the inner critic, and then you're connecting with what is in your life, who you are, and what you have done, not just what you haven't done.
That's a struggle because I feel like I've been in a faith crisis for, I don't know, years now, where being raised as though my inner voice or my gut is the Holy Spirit, something outside of me technically, and putting all of my identity and all the credit going to this other entity. And then as an adult and being in the real world and how that's affected my confidence in myself, because it's always been going to somebody else. Like, I can't do anything without this thing. And so if my faith starts wavering, then I'm losing my identity and trying to figure out, am I allowed to have my voice that's just mine?
Also your source.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really, we'll see where that ends up. I can't think because I've got like 4 minutes before I have to leave.
Okay. So how do you want to wrap up?
Oh, well, I was going to talk about the phone.
Do it. Just go.
My check-in was going to be that you've mentioned the Gab phone and your favorite things before. We talked about it in the last episode. Ava's at the age where her friends and her age group all have their own iCloud accounts, so they can communicate through their iPads, like text each other, whatever. Ava doesn't have one. It's just mine. So now my phone is getting, like, they created a group chat and they got excited about that. Then they've all been making 40 other group chats, and my number is in all of them, and I've been losing my mind getting my phone just blowing up all the time. I've tried to leave the conversation. I've tried to have the other moms pull my number out of the chat on their devices.
Did you turn off notifications for that one chat?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's feels like it's something that it's just a new territory that I haven't dealt with. And so I was like, can I just get all these moms? Can we all just get the Gab phone and then we don't have to deal with this anymore, or the Gab watch?
Yes.
Or just how to get all the parents on the same
page.
I've already thought about when she starts middle school, seeing if you would come talk to the school.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
And at least get the people in my world to be like, how do we all get on the same page with this age where they're starting to want to communicate through their own technology,
right,
so
right.
that they're not having to come be like, mom, can I see your phone? Because I wanted to. I will say I do like being able to keep tabs on what they're talking about. But really, I would like part of it.
It's really the best thing because you're seeing what she would be facing.
Yes.
And that's the thing you'd miss out on. If she'd already had that set up, you wouldn't understand that she's overwhelmed all the time or why.
Yeah.
But now you know. Like, you know.
Well, and so. I can see her if she knows, if she's sees from behind me, if I'm on my phone and she sees that it's in the top of my feed or whatever. She'd be like, oh, there's a group chat. Did somebody say something? Like, you can tell her immediate obsession with being like, I need to know what's happening and what they're talking about right now.
But also, I mean, you're feeding me gems
all
the time.
I know. You're welcome.
It's great. Okay. We got to go.
We got to go. I got to go pick up my kid.
Bye.
We'll revisit this another time. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. Bye.